ago, when I first came here, I told the church, I said, you're going to have Egypt and Saudi Arabia, and you're going to have Jordan on one side. And I mentioned some others down around the other southern part. And I said, you're going to have a union up in the north that goes all the way across from Lebanon to Iran. And I did tell them that. And it was based on the Bible. The king of the north, Gog, Magog, all Meshach and Tubal. It was based on all their names and everything. So this is nothing new. But I want you to get confidence from it that it's something that has been there for a very long time, and these preachers on television won't admit it. What I have written since 2004 will begin in the next administration following Obama. It will come out of the current North and South Islamic alignments. It's going to be a conflict. And out of that conflict is going to come a sort of a peace agreement called a Hudna. And the Hudna will be proclaimed, and they will agree not to attack Israel. And the kings of the south will sit down there waiting to see what happens. Israel will sit in between the union in the north and the south. The actual Antichrist will arise in Syria, and he will be an Islamic caliph. And he will have signed this agreement, and the Hudna will be in effect, and you can see it on that diagram. And all of a sudden, he will attack Israel. That begins the last 1,335 days. It will take him about 75 days to drive them down south into south of Beersheba, and they will be there for the rest of the time, for 1,260 days of the tribulation period. But the attack will begin 1,335 days. It'll take him 75 days to drive them down there. You say, well, how did you determine all this? Well, I am a graduate of a military academy, and I determined it by the Bible. That's what the Bible indicates. Now, what was going to happen before that? A bunch of wild confusion. Well, it's happening right now. And out of all this mess, this deal they're trying to make with Persia, that's the most insane thing I've ever heard of in my life. I lived among them. I know them. And there's no way under heaven they're going to keep that agreement. But why am I not concerned about it? We're not going to have a thermonuclear war over there. I've taught from the first day I came to this church, you will not have a nuclear war. Why? Do you know what would happen if we had a nuclear war? There wouldn't be anything left. Now, I admit that ISIS and the other terrorist organizations are bloodthirsty, ungodly, unhuman. Many of them are demon-possessed. But they are not fools. You know what the Bible says? The children of darkness are in their day wiser than the children of light. What does that mean? We've got a bunch of people in Washington that, as far as I'm concerned, the majority are not what we call true believers. And they're over there negotiating with a bunch of people that are terrorists that we have never been able to trust. So that'll add to it. But I guarantee you there's not going to be a thermonuclear war. I put that in my first book, and I've stuck to it, and it has become more and more apparent to me with the passage of time. You know why we didn't have a war when I was growing up hiding under desk Well, I found out when I got in the National Security Agency, we never believed there was going to be a war. That was just shop talk that we passed among ourselves. And whenever it came time to get the yearly distribution of funds, we would be expected to kick up the intensity of what was going on over there so we could get more money. I worked there, but I was a soldier, and I did what they asked me to do. I tried to do it as honestly as possible with using words like, amazing and unusual, and words that could mean just about anything. We all did that. Well, they gave us more money, and we built more thermonuclear weapons, and the Russians built more thermonuclear weapons. And finally, both sides realized, ain't no way there's going to be a nuclear war. Because the man who pushed the button over there, the head man, you could build a mountain deep and he wouldn't get out of it. It'd cave in on him. We didn't have this kind of stuff we got now. And you're not going to have one. So quit worrying about it. Right now, everybody asks me, they say, oh, we're going to have a thermonuclear war. No, you're not going to have a thermonuclear war. You say, what could we be concerned about? We should be concerned about our spiritual condition. We should be concerned whether we're saved or not. We should be concerned about whether we've been scripturally baptized. Then we should be concerned about whether or not we were being converted, whether we were making ourselves ready by letting Jesus work in us. If you're going to be concerned about that, because that lasts for all eternity, and it's very real. Now, shifting alliance, nothing new. What I have written since 2004 will begin in the next administration. If I die, it's going to happen anyway. It will come out of the current North and South Islamic alliances. Shifting alliances will have occurred before the latter 1,335 days of the tribulation period. Those alliances are shifting over there so fast you can't keep up with them. Now, here's where the Catholic Church comes in. The Old World Catholic Church and Daughters. What is the Methodist Church? It's the daughter of the Catholic Church. What is the Episcopalian Church? It is a daughter of the Catholic Church. What are the Protestant churches? They are daughters of the Catholic Church. The Old World Catholic Church and Daughters will support the Islamic Antichrist in order to protect church buildings and sainthood. They're getting a pretty good dose of what's going to happen right now. They're already killing Christians over there, and some of them aren't even Christians. They just think they are. Now, I'm just being brutal and straightforward and frank tonight. But they're also burning down the church buildings, the Catholic church buildings. They're burning down the church buildings of the Protestant groups and some that are somewhere in between. Now, when this division is made, you got the Southern Union down here and the Hezbollah to Iran area. You got that like a bridge joined together, and the Antichrist is right in the middle of it in Syria, and he's a part of it. Then they're going to get nervous. And I don't blame them. Because they're going to be afraid that when this war starts, good heavens, they're going to burn all our buildings. They're going to kill all our people. So what will they do? They will support the Islamic Antichrist in order to protect church buildings and sainthood. That means a whole lot more to the Catholics than it does to true Christians. You see, that's going to happen. Because I've lived over there in Europe. I've lived among the saints of the Catholic Church over there. I've lived among them when I was visiting over there and went into these churches that were daughters of the Catholic Church. But it will be to no avail. It's not going to help. It is burning and blood. That's what you're going to see when the Antichrist charges south out of Syria and overruns those kingdoms of Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Jordan. I guarantee it, it's going to happen. The Bible indicates that clearly. For believers, who is it for? It is burning and wool, blood for believers who support the Antichrist. That's what's going to happen. They're going to get it. And they'll think they can protect their buildings, and she'll get on. The Catholic Church will ride the beast. But the false prophet, he is not the Pope. I made that mistake years ago, like a lot of other people did, and tried to make him the Pope. He is not the Pope. He's going to be a false prophet that they will claim is Jesus. You say, well, that's hard to believe. That's exactly what's going to happen. They believe that Jesus did not die on the cross. Flesh and blood was not offered. And he was taken directly up to heaven. And they believe he was born of the Virgin Mary and that she was a true virgin. And that he's up there alive, never having been sacrificed. But he comes back to testify that the Antichrist is the true Messiah. This has taken a long time for me to figure this all out, but I didn't figure it out. Something this strange to what was being taught when I came back from overseas is not something that has endeared me to the Christian community. But I'm in fellowship with God, and that's all that matters. I believe the Antichrist will arise in Syria during the next administration. Now here comes special prophecy update number 191B, September 29th, 2004. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. If we didn't have other scriptures to prove who this is, we couldn't get a direct statement that says, you cannot lose your salvation. You have to take these scriptures to know what God gives us that we're supposed to study to understand. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. There can be no legitimate question as to who the woman in this scripture represents. There is no doubt. She is positively identified in the Old Testament as the nation of Israel. Now you had to study to show yourself approved unto God to understand that. And that's why you came to church. And when you discovered that, you liked it. And you could see where it made sense. And you could see that it was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It is from this nation that God has chosen his remnant. And God will select a remnant of 144,000 Israelites to be carried up, to be carried up, harmed up to the blowing of the seventh trumpet. They're going up, but they will have left their testimony behind. What is their testimony? The gospel, the good news, and they're going to preach it over there. So now, let's take a look at, first of all, let us examine the symbols of this verse. Same God, same Bible, same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here is a woman clothed with the sun. Well, who's the sun? Standing on the moon. Well, who's the moon? With a crown of 12 stars on her head. Well, who are the 12 stars and who is the woman? The sun is the patriarch Jacob. The moon represents his wives that gave birth to his 12 sons. And the 12 stars are the 12 sons from the nation of Israel, are the 12 sons from which the nation of Israel descended. The woman represents the nation of Israel. And this interpretation is not based on opinion. God revealed the key to this verse to Joseph long before John wrote it. So here we go. Genesis 37, 9 through 11. And he dreamed yet another dream, Joseph, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. This is what got him sold into captivity. The truth has a way of getting Christians killed or arrested. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. That was unheard of. For a father and a mother, and Joseph had a father and a mother, and brothers, he had 11 brothers, and he was one of the youngest. He says, they're going to bow down and worship. They're going to bow down before me. Man alive, how could that be? And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, which he should have, and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Then he tells him, he understands it. His father understands it. Shall I and thy mother and thy children indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Now this is very important. That's why you have to study, and you have to think, and you have to ask God to help you. And his brethren envied him. Look at their attitude. Now this is what's important. But his father observed the saying. Now that tells you this is the straight skinny. Here in Joseph's dreams are the same set of symbols, the sun, moon, and 11 stars, with Joseph himself being number 12. Listen, God put this in here so we could discover ourselves whether we really believed all this or not. And God put it in there because he wanted to help us believe it. Jacob, his wives, and Joseph's 11 brothers are made to bow down before Joseph at some future time. This was to be fulfilled when all of Jacob's large family came down to Egypt, where Joseph had been made second in command to Pharaoh. He was second in command to the Pharaoh of Egypt. God only uses this set of symbols twice in his word. Here, and where I just read you. He uses it twice in his word, once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament. That lets me know this applies to that specifically. And the first set interprets the second. See, God interprets it for you. You can know it's true. The woman literally represents all the descendants of the 12 sons of Israel, what we identify today as the nation of Israel. Now, in Revelation 12:2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Over 1,900 years ago, the nation of Israel gave birth to the flesh and blood Son of God, the sinless man, Christ Jesus, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. God chose a virgin of the tribe of Israel as the one who would bear his child in her womb, the Blessed Virgin Mary. I call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. I respect her because she was the woman that God chose to give birth to himself out of her womb. And so I have great admiration for her, but she didn't want me to worship her. And her son doesn't want me to worship her. Her son wants me to honor her. But her son wants me to worship him. Why? Because he first loved me. Because he created me in Adam. And here I sit before you with a body like Adam had. But now I have a soul within me that is being converted to be more like more like God, more like Jesus, more like the Heavenly Father, more like who Jesus is. And how far along am I? Only God knows. Will I ever love him as much as he loves me in this life? No. But I can stay in fellowship with him. And he has told me how to do it. And call his name. Jesus. He's God. He's all the things Isaiah said. Now, I got 5 minutes left, but I'm going to just say this. I'm going to continue right here in Revelation 12:3. You've heard this before. But when I go through it this time, I'm talking to a group of people who understand a whole lot more than I did when I preached when I presented it before. And I think you'll get some better understanding out of what I'm going to do on this starting next week. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And he's very real and he's very identifiable. And that's what I'm going to be talking about next time y'all come back.